Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Parts of the country. What's up, Xander?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So I guess, you know, just off the top here, you know, there hasn't been tremendous headlines over the week, but I think, you know, if we look around at the baseball patch, which we'll start out with here, I think it looks like all of a sudden Cespedes, who we've talked about often here, has been I think it was unloved by the Mets, but all of a sudden now the Mets look like they're close to getting a deal, because I guess the Nationals stepped up, and now there's a small bidding war between the Mets and the Nationals. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, that'd be pretty crazy if Cespedes went to the Nationals. I mean, that obviously be a big loss for the Mets, not only losing him, he's a great player, but also going straight into the division. I'm not surprised that they re-offered him a deal, but the interesting thing about the contract is it's a 3-year contract with a, you know, 1-year opt-out clause. So, I mean, I think it's a good deal for Cespedes, because if he thinks that if he has another great year and thinks he can get a lot more money in the open market next year, then it'll work out great for him. And the Mets, you know, hopefully he'll stay with them. I don't understand really why they didn't try to sign him in the first place when the offseason first started. But obviously there's more to know about the story. But, I mean, he had a great year. He hit .290, 42 doubles, 35 homers, at a 5.6 WAR, an unbelievable season, and I don't think the Mets want to see him go to the Nationals.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that either. I think that it's, he must be some sort of a clubhouse cancer. That can be the only logical explanation for why he's such an unloved guy, because, you know, you just don't see guys going to so many different teams over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. I know we've talked about it a lot on the show, and it's just a mystery. But, you know, and you got that give a bat, I mean, teams are always going to come after you. But we'll see if he keeps it up. I mean, like you said, it's the best year of his career last year. So that's why I think this deal with the Mets makes a lot of sense, especially with the success they had last year, making it to the World Series. So I think he goes back to the Mets.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. And then now, the new commissioner is now talking about bringing the DH to the National League in 2017. Are you a fan of the DH, and do you like it? What's your thoughts there?
You know, from a technical perspective, I like it, because, I mean, I think it's kind of weird that, you know, one league has a DH, one league doesn't. I mean, but that's kind of what makes, I think, the game special, is, you know, those minor differences between the leagues. But, I mean, to be honest, I think it's just better to have a DH. I mean, the pitcher, it's just not really a part of the game for pitchers to hit. I mean, I know that's a big part of strategy, because that's, you know, how the NL operates, but I'd honestly like to see the DH in both leagues, because I think it just makes for a better game, a little more high-powered offense, and, I mean, that's just my take on it. But, you know, watching pitchers hit isn't my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but, again, it's also, you know, I mean, part of the game is part of the strategy, right? That's why the run differential between the two leagues is different. So, you know, I mean, I'm not against it. I would like to see both leagues to be equal. Okay, I mean, that would be you know, fine with me. I would just like to see it done, you know, so we could see it the same. But, you know, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't rather see it taken out of the American League, because I think you take a guy, you remember, you know, but Matt's from last year, you know, on the Mets. Right. On the Mets, I mean, he won himself a couple of games with his bat. So, you know, do you like that better? I mean, I think it makes it more sense. You get a guy that, you know, maybe he works harder to become better at the plate, because maybe he has to make a key play. Maybe you don't get the, you know, in the National League, you pitch around the pitcher unless he's a really good hitter. I mean, again, it's six and one half as the other. I prefer, and maybe it's kind of old, I prefer, you know, the old style, okay, because that's just, you know, what I like. I mean, I like the league better without the DH altogether. You know, that's just my...
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Like I said, I think it's kind of cool how the leagues are different. I think that's part of what makes it special. But I really am kind of indifferent either way. If they did switch to the DH in the NL, I wouldn't really care. And if they kept it the same, it doesn't matter. Because when both teams, when they play, you know, interleague, they abide by, you know, the home team's rules. So it's not a big deal for me. But yeah, like you said, it's a great point. You know, if you do happen to be a good hitting pitcher, it's very to your advantage in the NL. I mean, we've seen a couple guys over the years. Remember, Carlos Zambrano used to be one of those guys, actually a switch hitter. I think he hit, you know, in the range of like 250 or something, which is pretty unheard of for a pitcher. So, I mean, yeah, you do get some of those guys who can actually really, really swing the bat and handle themselves at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. And then, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously baseball starts to heat up here, and we'll start to see some more information. And then, you know, taking a quick peek at the NBA, I think, first of all, what's your thoughts of Kobe being an All-Star? Now, I understand that it's a Lifetime Achievement Award, but, you know, he gets voted in by the fans. I mean, that's kind of silly, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you talked about it a little last week. I mean, I honestly couldn't see a situation where he wasn't going to the All-Star game this year. I mean, he just, you know, one of those guys who, like a Peyton Manning, you know, if he's 60 years old, he's going to get voted in. But I think it's kind of, I don't care that he gets voted in, but then I don't think he should necessarily use All-Star selections as, you know, part of someone's legacy. If this is how it's going to be, if it's just going to be a popularity contest and not based on play, which this year Kobe Bryant, I don't think, is playing at an All-Star level, and not a starting All-Star level. But I mean, that's just the way the game works. It's great to get the fans involved, but I think if there's going to be more merit to putting All-Star selections on your player resume, you know, I don't think it just doesn't mean as much.
I don't know. I mean, he's not even playing at a – I mean, the way he's playing now, he wouldn't even be drafted. But, again, I get it. I understand it, and that's part of the game. I'm just, you know, a little bit, you know, I get tired, you know, if they want to give him, you know, I think they should keep kind of what they do in the Oscars. They have like a Lifetime Achievement Award and let him start. I mean, that's fine. I don't have a problem with even starting the game. The game is an exhibition. It's great. People want to see him. But, you know, he shouldn't take the spot of somebody else who could get voted in, and they could add, you know, a Lifetime Achievement Award on both sides of the thing. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Like, I agree with you. I don't care if he starts. I mean, I think it's cool that, you know, in his last year in the league, even though you're not playing that well, but he's getting a chance to play with the best guys again. I read an interesting article on CBS Sports today. It's talking about building an NBA team with Kobe Bryant's salary, and they knocked out a pretty darn good starting five. You know, Kobe Bryant makes $25 million a year. They had Damian Lillard, $4.2 million, CJ McCollum, $2 million, Giannis Antetokounmpo, $2 million, and they filled out a starting lineup and still had $11 million left over. So, I mean, that just gives you a little perspective on how much money Kobe Bryant is making, and I thought that was just a cool fact.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, again, we know how big the money is, and it's only getting bigger, and Nike's even putting more spice into it. But we'll step by here for a break. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, and we're going to step by here for a break. But make sure you ever miss one, libertytalk.fm. You can get all the on-demand episodes that we've done. And, of course, we'd love to share with you, and we continue to build the website and continue to try to put you guys in the best position to help your financial investing or your sports investing, to help you increase win percentage. And that's why we put together good lineups and we give you good selections on the games. And we'll be back after the break with more of The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back.
It's magic, seem to win.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, Xander, yeah, now Nike is talking about putting together a 7-on-7 league, okay, for college kids, I guess, for anybody, but pretty interesting. But I mean, even you'd like to play 7-on-7 again, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 7-on-7 is the best. It's like playing pickup, you know, not a lot of contact. You know, you're just kind of throwing the ball around. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I remember that was probably my favorite drill, playing a little football in high school. You know, it's a cool way. There's no linemen in your way. And that does sound like a pretty cool idea by Nike. It's very interesting.
Yes, I think it'd be fun and interesting, and of course there'll be some scuttlebutt from the NCAA because there always is a problem, and why they, you know, that's one of the problems I have with all this stuff too, is why they can't figure out how to get around and clean up, you know, all this mess. I think that's a bigger problem, in my opinion, but it is what it is, and we won't belabor that point. And then, of course, you know, as we look into, you know, more I baskets now. Hack-a-Shack, you remember? Well, you may not remember Hack-a-Shack, but the foul guy last year.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Now, of course, now Andre Drummond is the Hack-a-Shack, and a few of the other guys. But what do you think of that? Should they change the rule? Now, this goes like the DH thing in baseball. I go, hey, learn how to shoot a free throw. I mean, the other night he missed 23 free throws, a record in the NBA. He missed 23 free throws. So why wouldn't you foul him? I mean, you know, one of the biggest things that happens in sports is fundamentals don't people don't worry about fundamentals. I mean, those are free points. Why not go out and learn to shoot them so they won't foul you? I mean, that's the end of the day. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think they should make any rule changes about it. I mean, the game, you're playing to win, and obviously that kind of strategy gives you a better chance to win when a guy can't even shoot 50% from the line. And that's the thing. It always amazed me. You know, how many of some guys are just so awful at shooting free throws. But it's weird to think about, you know, when I put my hands on a basketball, it feels pretty big. But, I mean, some of these guys, it looks like they're holding a tennis ball. And I could see how that could cause some problems, in shooting. But, I mean, if you worked on it enough, I feel like you could figure out a way to at least shoot 60 to 65% and not just give away points like we saw the other night. But, I mean, it's a strategy, and it's a good one because, you know, people can't shoot free throws. They're not going to score against you, and so you do it. So, I mean, I agree with you.
Well, I mean, Will Chamberlain learned to shoot underhand. I mean, he wasn't great, but he certainly hit a good enough percentage. And that, you know, that's, you know, what I would do if I was going to do it. And then, of course, pretty good rookie crop this year in the NBA. You know, there's some, and of course, I mean, one of the better ones, and I think arguably maybe the top rookie is Porzingis from the Knicks, and they got booed like crazy when they picked him. What do you think of that?
I know. I mean, they actually showed, you know, a recap of, there was one, I think he was about 6 or 7 year old fan, you know, crying when they drafted him, and they showed him a few months later, recently, being very happy about Porzingis, and he has really been something else. You know, a guy so tall who can play in the perimeter and play inside, I mean, you just don't see it that often, and he's playing at a very high level, and it's making Phil Jackson look like a very, very brilliant man that he is. So he's having a great year, and like you said, there's a bunch of other good ones. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is everything that people expected him to be, playing at an all-star level. I mean, I think those guys are the top two, but there's plenty more.
I mean, Okafor is pretty good too, don't you think?
Who would you say?
Okafor, Jahil Okafor.
Oh, yeah. He's playing well also. I mean, it's kind of tough to follow that 76ers team when they're so bad, but he's had a pretty good year. Also, I think a guy who I think is going to be a very good pro is Justice Winslow on the Heat. I mean, I think he's kind of like reminds me of a 5-tool player in baseball. He's just got a lot of skills. I think he's still pretty raw, but I mean, he's been playing pretty well. And I think that Heat team on the topic of the NBA is a team to watch out for in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. And then, you know, again, of course, now as we look back at last week's football games, you know, I think the game to look at first is what the hell happened to Carolina. They won the first half, went home, and somehow they almost. I think if Seattle had a little more time, they might have come back and won that game. What'd you think?
I know, and it's weird. It's happened a couple times this year with Carolina. It's not the first time they jumped out to a huge lead and not held on. But I mean, that first half was just an absolute spanking. I mean, nothing was going right for the Seahawks. And then Russell Wilson comes out and throws for, you know, 300 yards almost in the second half. And like you said, a little more time, they probably make that game 31-all. But, I mean, time ran out and Carolina moved on. And I think it's going to be a great game against the Cardinals.
Now, you know, do you think – I don't know. I mean, I like Carolina, and I think Cam Newton is unbelievable. But I don't know how they're going to match up, although they do have the home field advantage here. But, you know, they're playing a pretty complete team in Arizona now. Of course, Seattle was good, but they I don't think they're as good as Arizona, in my opinion. How do you think they look? Well, we'll handicap it later, but how do you think the game plays out overall? What's your take?
I think the game overall, I think it's pretty close. I mean, both these defenses are very good. Carolina, I think scoring-wise is the best in the league. Arizona is definitely right there as well. And I'd really love to see this game played with Tyrann Mathieu on the Cardinals because he was a Pro Bowl defensive back this year. But, I mean, both these defenses are very good and both offenses are very good. I mean, these teams are very efficient and they just get it done. That's flat out. I mean, Carolina's 15-1. Arizona had a 13-3 regular season. I mean, these teams are great. The thing I worry about a little bit is Carson Palmer did not look sharp last week against Green Bay. I mean, I know he had the thing with a finger a few weeks ago, but he just was just missing passes the entire game. And I mean, they're lucky they got away with that one after that miraculous throw from Rodgers again.
Yeah, and going to that game, how about Rodgers? He makes two in a row passes there that were unbelievable. I mean, how does a guy get that open, and how does that happen?
I'm speechless. I don't even know how to describe it. I remember we had Arizona -7, and we were praying, yelling for a safety, or -7.5. We're yelling for a safety. Rodgers escapes in the end zone, finds Janis downfield. It's kind of unbelievable how that happens on a 4th-and-20. You'd think with all those DBs back there, they could keep an eye on everybody, but it happens. But, I mean, the next play was so textbook Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if any quarterback in the NFL could make that throw the way that he did. You know, running to his left, shoulders turned, chucks the ball, I think, 65 yards in the air. I mean, it was unreal. And the cool thing about it was Janis, I think when he threw the ball, Janis at the 15-yard line, looked up at the last second and pulled it down. It was like a flashback of like a couple months ago to that Detroit game, and my jaw dropped. I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unbelievable that they were able to do that. It's unbelievable that it could be that wide open, but that just goes back to the prevent defense. It only prevents you and me from winning.
Yes, I have heard that before. But yeah, you know, the Pack, and they played pretty well, but I thought the Cardinals showed that they're a better team. I just think that the key cog in that game was Carson Palmer was not sharp, but Arizona still found a way to hang on. So, I mean, they're still the team that I thought they were.
Yeah, I mean, now, interesting in that game was there was a pick six early in the game, because I think Arizona would have blown them out early. But all of a sudden, there's this mysterious penalty that stopped the pick six because it would have been 14-0 instead of 7-3. And, you know, I think that the officiating has been pretty brutal in these games. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it hasn't been great, but I recently learned, doing intramural basketball reffing at Illinois Wesleyan, reffing is tough, man. It's a tough job. But, I mean, these refs are professionals, too. So, I mean, they should be held to the same standard that the players are. You know, don't play well, you know, people get on them. But I agree. I don't think the officiating has been kind of subpar. But we'll see this weekend. We got Ed Hockley on the pass game, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, again, I'm not whining about the game and the reffing, but I think they sometimes go over the top and do too much protecting, and it's football. It's a collision sport. You could, in theory, call a penalty on every play, and that's where I see is more the problem. Anyways, this is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. Make sure you miss an episode. You want to get back on, go to libertytalk.fm. Every episode is up there for you on demand. You can listen anytime you want, as well as with The Bubba Show. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So Xander, you know, so again, the deal, okay, we won't talk about the refs anymore, but then you look at Pittsburgh-Denver, and that game, first of all, the game looked like they could have scored 4 million points, but nobody could score. But, you know, Ben gave it the old college try, but it was just a really ugly-looking game. What did you think about Pittsburgh-Denver?
Yeah, I thought it was the least exciting out of those four games last weekend. Like you said, not a lot of closing. I mean, so many field goals in this game. I was glad that we had Brandon McManus on our FanDuel team, but yeah, kind of an uninspiring game. Just kind of ticked along, and I was cheering at the end. Ben Roethlisberger, I thought when he threw that ball backward with his left hand, they scooped it up. I was really hoping that they'd be called a touchdown for Denver, but they gave it a shot. But I mean, Pittsburgh, I think, was just missing too many weapons. Not a healthy team, and Denver defense kept them to 16 points, which, even though you got Peyton Manning at the helm, I mean, you got to win the team's points when he's back there, because he's not looked very good this season. But, you know, threw for over 200 yards. It just isn't fantastic, but got it done through the ball 37 times. And they came away with a victory. You know, kind of move on to the next week.
Right. And then I think the biggest blow of the week, although it wasn't a blowout, was the Kansas City-New England game. I mean, New England kind of had control of that game almost the entire way. Kansas City made a run at him, but what did you think of that game?
Right, yeah. I mean, that was very textbook Tom Brady. He had a great game, 300 yards. Julian Edelman, had 10 receptions, and he even looked a little rusty, dropped a few balls. So I think, coming into this next week, I think, he's probably going to go off. I think he's Tom Brady's best weapon besides Rob Gronkowski. So I think he has a great game. But, yeah, this game was, I think it could have been almost 40-20. I mean, it wasn't a big deal until the pass decided to throw on that second down play, and it got tipped. My heart jumped for a second because I was thinking of a pick six. But, I mean, besides that, it's really a two-score game going down to the end. And the Patriots move on, and we get another Brady Manning matchup for the 17th time.
Yeah, so, speaking of that, and we'll start with the Brady Manning matchup. First of all, in football, it's never quarterback versus quarterback. I mean, they have a part in the role, but I think Tom Brady has always had the better overall team than Peyton Manning. But again, all that doesn't matter. They're a component, and they make a story of it. Do you make anything of it?
I just think it's cool how, two iconic figures in the game, are meeting up. I mean, and it looks like for the last time, because I don't know if Peyton Manning is getting back to any AFC championship game anytime soon after this. But I just think it's really cool. I mean, these guys have been, the center of football, I think, for the past 15 years. And, they've been a part of a lot of great teams, Brady more so than Manning. But, I mean, Manning has gotten the two Super Bowls, has won one of them. And we all remember, I mean, he was a lock in Indianapolis for, you know, 10 wins each year at least. And I think it's cool that both these guys are coming down. And I'd say Manning is at the tail end of his career, but I can't say that about Brady. I mean, even at 37, he looks the same that he did 10 years ago when he, you know, was throwing up touchdowns to Randy Moss. So I think this is going to be – I think it's cool, but I really don't see this being a great game. I just think the Pats are the better team, and it's got to be – up to the Denver defense to stop Tom Brady, because I don't think they're going to put up too many points.
Oh, that happens to be my underdog special of the week. I do like Denver in this game, and I think Denver's going to beat them. How do you like that, big boy?
Well, I guess we'll be on opposite sides then, but I mean, I think this has the makings to be a great game. I just, you know, I don't know if Denver can hang with the Patriots. I mean, especially with Edelman and all their weapons coming back, Amendola, who got fined for that huge hit he laid last week. Did you see that in the game?
Yep, I did see it, and it was it is what it is, and I think Denver beats them. I think that New England's got troubles of their own, and I think at home the defense shuts them down, and so I think Denver moves on to the Super Bowl. In fact, I picked Arizona to win the Super Bowl, but maybe it's fate that Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning is not coming back, in my opinion. Peyton Manning, his career, in my opinion, is over. So I think that this will be the end, and maybe he'll ride off on the white horse, and the Denver white horse, of course, and win the Super Bowl. And then, of course, the other game, you know, tough matchup. Who do you like in the game, and why?
You know what? I like the Cardinals. You know, we've been pretty high on them all year. I mean, they've been consistent. They haven't really let you down. And you could say the same thing about Carolina. They went through a whole year almost undefeated. I just think this Arizona team is more battle-tested. I think they've got a better coach in Bruce Arians. I think they've got just a better overall team. But, I mean, I think I think these teams are about as close as you can get. I just think Arizona edges them out by a little bit. And that's why I'll take the 3 points. And that's basically saying these teams are even. You know, Carolina's a 3-point favorite at home. I just think Arizona's got that extra edge to them. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald went into beast mode last week and put the team on his back and won that game in overtime. But, I mean, the key for me in this game is Carson Palmer. You know, he did throw for 300 yards last week, but with 25 for 41, I think he needs to complete about 70% of his passes, and I think he's going to do that. I mean, I know Carolina's got a great defense. I know they got Josh Norman. They got a great pair of linebackers. You know, but I like the weapons more for Arizona, and I think their defense shuts them down. You know, Cam Newton is a great playmaker, but he's going to need to play it like a Deshaun Watson type role in this game. He's going to need to do it all, and I think in the end he comes up a little short.
Yeah, I think that Carson Palmer is going to carry the day, and I think that that they're going to beat him. And I just think that you know, I picked them to win it all, and I think it's going to be two old dogs, Carson Palmer against Peyton Manning, and you know, so we'll see how it plays you know, out from there. And of course, you know, has had a great year. Now, one of the big issues floating around right now in sports, I want to get your take on this, is, you know, the coaching carousel, but not the coaching carousel, but the number of African Americans are getting interviewed for the jobs. Do you have an opinion on that? I mean, you know, I'm kind of tired of hearing about it. You know, they don't interview enough of them, and you know, and Bomani Jones did a thing on ESPN, and you know, hey, I mean, I don't know what the right answer is. But I think that, you know, I think they look for qualified candidates. I mean, I don't think anybody cares. I think the only thing that owners care about is winning. I don't think they care what color you are. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, people, you know, make deals about things all the time. And that's just, yeah, just the way it is. People like to make stories. But yeah, you know, I don't think any you know, owner, GM is going to turn down the, you know, the thought of winning. So I think if you got a guy who you think is going to help you win the most, I mean, that's who you're going to hire. And I guess it's a little, I don't really have that much of a perspective on it, because I don't think it's a big issue. But I mean, obviously, like, people in the sporting world, you know, talk about this stuff all the time, and I don't really see it. You know what? I'm not really involved with it either. It's just not one of the things on my radar.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's just, you know, coaches, everyone wants to win. Nobody takes a job or nobody interviews anybody who doesn't want to win. And I think that owners pick who they believe are going to be the best. I mean, you know, we know who the athletes are. And, you know, there's, you know, more old guys. I tell you what I don't like about the coaching carousel is I don't like all the old blood that stays around forever. I mean, you're still hiring, you know, Dick LeBeau at 82 years old. I mean, you know, come on. I like to see some young blood, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think that's the interesting thing about the NFL is, like, you know, you see guys get fired and just perform so bad in some places, and their names just pop up each year, and it kind of seems like there's, like, 50 guys who are constantly in that carousel, like, that you always hear about. I mean, obviously, you got your Bill Belichicks and guys who've been places forever, but then you've got, a group of guys who are always hovering around. But I think it's cool when you get that good offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator gets to step up and, you know, work himself into a role. Kind of like Bruce Arians has done with the Cardinals. I mean, he was an assistant for a very, very long time and got his chance in Arizona, and he has not looked back. He's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I get tired of the retreads. You know, again, I can see a retread once. I mean, Pete Carroll, perfect example. He failed. Bill Parcells failed and came back. But, you know, after a while, you know, you keep giving the same jobs over and over again. And I'd like to see some young blood. I'd like to see what some other guys can do. I mean, I just get tired of watching the same old dribble back and forth. And I think that is part of the problem, you know, in general, in sports, is even in baseball. They keep hiring the same old garbage over and over again. You know, let's get some young guys in there. Let's see what they can do. You know, I mean, I have no problem. You got a guy who's successful. Great, keep hiring them. But if a guy is not successful, you know, the Albert Einstein with insanity, keep hiring the same guy over again. What is that the saying? You know, it just.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but we're going to step out of a break, and we're going to come back with our final FanDuel lineup of the year and a few closing notes. But this is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, and we will be back after the break. Make sure if you miss a show, libertytalk.fm on demand. That goes for the Bubba Show as well. You can get that at Liberty Talk there as well. And again, this is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, you've had a good year. Okay, we've had a good year handicapping the games. We've made money. If you followed us all year long, you're in the money. So give us your final fantasy lineup of football for this year.
Will do. This is kind of a sad moment. This is the last time we'll be able to make a lineup for a long time. After getting the NBA and we're going to have to get into baseball. But on a good note, we did win last week, put up 108 points. Carson Palmer put up 24, was a big score for us. Greg Olson, 17 points, and the big key was Brandon McManus, who I thought would have a great game, and it turned out he did. He scored 20 points, so that put us in the green for the week. And now on to the final lineup. You know, I'm going to start off the quarterback, and I'm going to go with Tom Brady this week. I think there are two great options. According to a lot of sources, Cam Newton, Tom Brady. Like I said, I'm not as high on Cam Newton this week. I think the Arizona defense kind of shuts him down. But I like Brady. Denver defense is tough, but like I said, I think the weapons are there for Brady. You got Gronk, Amendola, Julian Edelman. I think James White out of the backfield. I don't think the Patriots are going to really run the ball that much in this game. I think Brady puts it up 40-plus times, and he's got everybody back. So I think that equates to a lot of points. My first running back slot, I'm going to go with David Johnson of the Cardinals. It's tough to take guys this week because all these defenses are pretty good. Carolina ranks near the top in the league in run defense, but against the running back position specifically, they're in the middle of the pack. Johnson was a chalk play last week. He had him in the divisional round. Didn't get really much going on the ground, but, he proved that, he's very versatile. I mean, he had 13.8 points thanks to 6 receptions. So that shows you that he's going to be involved in this game plan. I think he's going to be essential to the Cardinals beating the Panthers. And it's really cool that he's been a guy who's been able to step into the role of a starting back after being a third stringer this year, and he really hasn't disappointed. So I'm looking for him to have a big week. My second running back slot, I'm going with C.J. Anderson You know, I don't love this pick, especially because I had the Patriots defense, but I needed some value. I needed somewhere to find it. And I think C.J. Anderson gives me that edge. You know, like as we talked about Peyton Manning, we know what he's doing, and I think the Denver Broncos are going to need to run the ball if they want to win this game. You know, the Broncos limited Anderson's workload in the first half against the Steelers last week. He saw 17 snaps. Ronnie Hillman saw 21. But in the second half, you know, Anderson saw 25 snaps. Was far more productive. I think they give him the starting nod this week. He had 17 touches, 83 yards. You know, I think he's going to get 20-plus touches. I mean, that's a lot, but I think if they're going to keep this game close, they need to pound the ball with him. My first wide receiver slot, already brought his name up, Julian Edelman. You know, he showed a little rust in the first game back from injury last week. He dropped 3 passes in the first half, but, you know, he kept beating the Chiefs secondary over and over. Tom Brady kept throwing him balls. He ended up with 10 receptions. And a team-high 16 targets. I mean, that's pretty unreal. Gronk did catch 2 touchdowns, but, you know, Edelman saw a lot of targets. I feel like Denver's game plan is going to be to shut down Gronk because, you know, he is the best receiver on that Patriots team, and arguably in the game of football. I think Edelman has a big week and puts up a lot of yards and gets in the end zone. My second wide receiver slot is going to Larry Fitzgerald. You know, once last week's game, against the Packers, went in overtime. Fitzgerald, as you said before, said, you know, I'm putting this team on my back. Ended the night with a monster stat line of 176 yards and a touchdown. You know, we don't usually like to go with players coming off big weeks, but I think Leonard Fitzgerald is a great play this week. You know, he's a guy who gets targeted a lot by Carson Palmer, and this Arizona team has a lot of weapons, too. I mean, we talked about David Johnson. They also have John Brown. Michael Floyd, who's really stepped up this year. So, I mean, they're not going to be all focused on Larry Fitzgerald, but I think Carson Palmer is going to lean very heavily on him, so I think he's definitely worth it. My third wide receiver slot, it's probably my biggest reach play of the week, is Keyshawn Martin of the New England Patriots. You know, there's not a lot to choose from this week, but I think Keyshawn Martin offers some big upside, you know, playing an outside receiver for the Patriots. I think, you know, he's that kind of Brandon LaFell, Aaron Dobson type, you know, will disappoint you for a few weeks and then break out for a big game. I mean, he had 57 yards receiving last week, so that was decent, only on 2 receptions and 2 targets. But, I mean, he's a guy, if he gets loose once or twice and catches a 60-yard bomb, he'll easily be worth his salary. So I think he's a good play this week. Tight end, I think this is pretty chalk, you know, across the board. Unless you can try to fit Gronk in your lineup, it's Greg Olsen. I mean, I had to go with him. You know, I couldn't spend $2,000 more for Gronkowski this week with the way I constructed my lineup. But Greg Olsen has been, I think, you know, besides Gronk, the most consistent tight end in the league this year. I mean, this is tough to use him over Gronk, but I think he's so valuable to Cam Newton. You see it every week. Cam Newton goes back to him. And I think the way this game is going to play out, I think the Cardinals are going to be up, and I think this is going to come down to Greg Olsen getting a lot of targets late in the game, and hopefully, for our sake, he'll get in the end zone. My kicker, I'm going with Graham Gano of Carolina. You know, I like I said, I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to win this game, but I think the Panthers are going to move the ball, and they're going to need to score points. Graham Gano has been pretty consistent this year. You know, I really wanted to lean towards Stephen Gostkowski, but, you know, I'm hoping that the Patriots are going to score more touchdowns and field goals. Graham Gano is my guy this week. Defense, I'm going with the New England Patriots. You know, a lot of Patriots on my roster this week, and that's kind of indicative of how I think this game is going to go. You know, I think they're probably the least talented defenses out of all the 4 defenses there, but I think they've got the best matchup, and I think they're going to put up some points this week. So that's my last lineup of the year, and, you know, I guess we'll be back in a few months to take some more football lineups, but then on to basketball.
Well, beyond the basketball, we got the NCAA tournament, and then we got baseball. So, you know, as you start looking at baseball, because, you know, you guys start getting ready for your longer term drafts and things, what are things you do in an off season getting ready for a fantasy draft?
You know, well, the first thing I like to do is I like to update myself with all the teams and the new players and the new acquisitions. I mean, you know, every off season there's a ton of moves that are made, you know, free agents, trades. So that's the first thing I like to take a look at each team, see what it looks like. You know, do we have, you know, any rookies possibly coming up? You know, where are new guys? Are they playing out of positions? You know, stuff like that. I like to get comfortable with each team. Then I like to start, you know, looking at different websites, looking at different experts and their opinions on guys, you know, guys who they think are going to have breakout years, you know, superstars are going to stay up there. So basically stuff like that, getting myself acquainted with the league, because, you know, each year it's a lot different. I mean, a lot of moves are made, and the thing I love about playing in the fantasy league that we play in is it's just, you know, home runs, RBIs, and wins. So, I mean, we're looking for very specific things, and I think that makes it easier because, I mean, pitching, we're looking for teams that are going to be successful. We're looking for guys who are going to go out there, you know, every fifth game and start, and obviously injuries play a huge role in that. I mean, that's something about fantasy that is never going to change. Sometimes you get unlucky with injuries, so, I mean, I like to lean more towards guys who have been pretty durable during their career because, you know, you hate taking that guy who's got, you know, 30, 40 homer potential, but, you know, has played half the games in his career. So those are some of the things that I look for. And, you know, I like to use the site RotoWire. I think they're great. And I'm really looking forward to using RotoGrinders this year. I mean, that's a new site I kind of picked up during this football season. And they got a lot of daily fantasy experts on there, a lot of good info. I mean, if you sign up with a DraftKings or FanDuel account through them, you actually get free incentives, which offer you a lot more on their website. But yeah, they're great. They've got a lot of daily research. They got people writing up articles, writing up, you know, things on players. They have a daily ranking system, which I think is really valuable in, you know, in the NBA and the MLB because, you know, they're playing games every day. There's big slates, there's small slates, but basically every day there's a game. So sometimes it can be tough to keep up. But they do a great job, and I'm going to lean on them heavily during this NBA and NFL, or NBA and MLB season.
Oh, no, it's great because you need to have sources. You just can't, unless you have no life, you can't possibly do it all by yourself. You need to have, you know, the biggest source is always in anything, is information. And, again, it gives you an idea of what they're doing. But, all right, well, that'll do it for today and the Sporting Edge. But we want to have everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the games and... I think we agree on one pick this week. That'll be the Arizona Cardinal because we are on opposite sides of the Denver game. I say Denver wins, and they may win easy, but we'll see how it plays out. This has been the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Zander. Everybody have a great weekend and enjoy football. We'll see you back here next week, and we'll start with a weekend basketball lineup as well as many other things. That'll do it for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Zander. We'll see you later. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.